This is Let's Talk MS, the podcast of youth living with MS.
Let's Talk MS!
Welcome to Let's Talk MS, a podcast series created by Young Minds for Young Minds and proudly brought to you by the European Multiple Sclerosis Platform. I'm Anna.
And I'm Elizabeth.
We will be your hosts for today.
In this podcast series, we're about to unpack the challenges of living life as a young adult while navigating the challenges that come with MS and related disorders like NMO and MOGAD. From dating to nutrition to dealing with MS stigma or the condition stigma, we're here to navigate it all through expert insight and personal stories.
Today, we will be talking about NMO and MOGAD, two MS-related conditions. We are really looking forward to learning more about these conditions. So first, let me introduce our guest for today. We will have Suad Mazari, patient advocate and founder of the NGO NMO Rêve Mes Ensemble in France. Welcome, Suad.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having us. I'm so happy to share with you some perspective on NMO and MOGAD. Thank you.
And Aida Fuentes, journalist and teacher that has recently joined EMSP Young People's Network as the first young person living with NMO. So welcome, Aida.
Thank you. Thank you for the initiative. Thank you for giving visibilization to these conditions. It's very important for us.
In this episode, we will focus on two important neurological conditions, NMOSD, or neuromyelitis optica spectrum disorder, or NMOGAD, myelin oligodendrocyte glycoprotein antibody disease. These are autoimmune disorders that affect the central nervous system and are often confused with multiple sclerosis, though they have different causes, symptoms, and treatment approaches.
Thank you, Anna, for introducing this very important topic for us. We're here today to learn a little bit more about what NMOSD and MOGAD are. And I will start with very general questions to our expert guests. So maybe I will start with you, Suad. Can you explain to us a little bit more about what are the key symptoms that a person affected by NMO is facing? What are the main challenges that they are experiencing in their daily lives?
NMO is a rare condition, NMO and MOGAD. They have been recently discovered and they have been for a long time misdiagnosed with MS because they share the same symptoms. And the key symptoms is neuritis optica, but more severe than MS. Patient can lose one eye or both eyes in the first attack. So the diagnosis is very, very important. MOGAD patient is another disease with NMO and MOGAD. We have this chance to have biomarker. So neurologists, they do blood tests to understand and to have the good diagnosis. But sometimes some people, they don't have biomarker and they are double seronegative. So neuritis, they can have blurred vision, pain, they can lose the mobility. There are so many symptoms that really, really are very close to MS, but with a very bad impact at the first attack. So that's why the diagnosis is very important.
And when you are talking about the first symptoms that people are experiencing and knowing that the severity of the symptoms, can you tell us a little bit more in terms of the daily life? What were the support that you had a need for when you were going through that? And is there any specific support that is missing that you think we should highlight and push for? Also, when we are working with the policy decision makers to make sure that people are accompanied in a proper way?
The challenge for the patient of the central nervous system, MS condition is still a challenge, okay, on the daily life. It's always something where you have to go through MS organization, visibility, support. And for NMO and MOGAD, it's a rare condition. So we often heard that, oh, it's a rare condition, there are not so much patients. But in the daily life, we have so many patients in France, in Europe. Because it's a rare condition, it should not be set up on the side because it's rare. We also need support, understanding, a community. Because when it's rare, you think you are alone. even if MS have big organization, the rare patient, they don't feel like involved in the MS community because it's different and because the treatment are different. The approach of this mechanism is different and they can feel very lonely. So creating a community specific to this rare disease make us more stronger to give this visibility and this empowerment to the patient to be heard, to be seen, to be understood. They deserve a quality of life. Giving this option that, oh, you are rare, I can't hear that. Even if it's rare, even if we try to support like 10, 20 patients, it's not rare. It's saving lives.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, often we hear because it's rare, we don't prioritize that. And I think that's the wrong approach. As you said, as a person, we are all entitled to the same rights in terms of health, in terms of social rights. And it's important that we fight for everyone the same way. So I totally agree with you. And I'm happy that we are here also to be able to support those communities. I have a question, one because we are talking about misdiagnosis, and do you think that in these last years there has been improvement in diagnostic tools or tests that can help avoid misdiagnosis and beyond awareness raising about the existence of those rare conditions? Is there anything else that needs to be spoken about?
Concerning the diagnosis, Europe is aware and France have done so many things on the biomarker, on the sharing the tools everywhere in Europe for everyone to know that a patient, when they come to hospital and they have this central nervous system, they need to go to an expert. So the question is how Europe today can give the right answer to share with the healthcare professional the information about the biomarker, where the patient, they can have those biomarkers done in the hospital. In France, we are organized. We have reference center, expert center, and we know where to send the patient. In Europe, I don't know yet if we have enough reference center. So the goal is to work with you to identify where the patient go to have the good diagnosis, the good test, when it's not MS. This is the key. Today in France, we have done so many work with NMO France since 6 years, and we give the visibility, we build bridges, but we have to do the same in Europe.
It's really important like that we can advance in this sense and also give patients like a more accurate diagnosis. That's why I wanted to ask you about your misdiagnosis. Like, how was your process? And I think, if I'm not mistaken, you were first diagnosed with MS, and then sometime after, they found out that it was not MS and it was NMO. How was this process, and how did you find out, or did they find out that it was not really MS?
I have been misdiagnosed for 4 years. I had 4 different attacks on the central nervous system. My first symptom was nausea, vomiting, and hiccup. And this is not a symptom of MS, but I have been sent to different doctors, but not the neurologist. And I had again another symptom, paralysia on the face. And my third attack, I lost in one attack my right eye. And this was not identified as MS or something else. And I had again another attack. The paralysia, when I had this paralysia, they said it was MS. My last attack, I lost the other eye in one attack. So I was totally blind. So they were confused between MS and NMO because I didn't have biomarker. But today we know, with the clinic, I had all the symptoms of NMO double seronegative because I didn't have the biomarker. But the clinic is very important. So hearing the patient and see the clinic, the symptom, you can understand that is NMO because the scientific literature describes the symptoms. And if you have more than one symptom or two symptoms on the central nervous system, like nausea, hiccups, nevritis optica at the first attack. They have tools now to diagnose NMO and MOGAD and MS.
Actually, last month we have our annual conference in Prague, and there was one session about biomarkers. Mm-hmm. And as I am a specialist, I ask, like, I have never received any information about biomarkers, for example. They explained that little by little is something that it's being more integrated in hospitals in the process of diagnosis. So hopefully it can help to avoid these kind of situations to patients, because the impact is really high. And we hope that we can improve in this. But now, Aida, going to you, how was your process of the diagnosis, or which symptoms did you have initially when you were diagnosed? Because you were diagnosed directly with NMO, right?
Well, the thing is that I was diagnosed from NMO at 2021 after giving birth to my first son. But the thing is that years ago, I started experiencing strange things. For example, from time to time, not always, I was struggling walking, you know, my right leg. I couldn't hard enough the leg to walk. But that was very rare. I mean, if I was tired from time to time, really. So I started to go to the doctors, neurologists. They said, well, it's very strange. Maybe that's a stress. I don't know. Who knows? Then I started having tests and everything. And I got pregnant. I didn't know anything at all. So I got pregnant. And the doctor said, hey, Aida, we don't have the tag, you know, we don't have the name of the whatever is causing you that. But we think that maybe you'll have an episode after giving birth. And what does it mean? Well, that means that maybe you will recover not as fast as other women, no? Well, okay. The thing is that I gave birth, and just after giving birth, I lost totally the force, the strength in my body, no? I wasn't strong enough to take my 3-kilo baby. I couldn't walk. I need help to walk, to ride, to eat. So I couldn't do anything at all. I felt very dizzy, like a strange dizzy stab inside of my head. I don't know, everything was very strange, but I started like with a little thing like, today I feel weak. But like as days were passing by, the situation was being aggravated, no? Was more severe. I was like this without being able to walk, with help. It's either like 6-7 months, something like this. I remember I went to a lot of doctors and I look up for information to internet, and I saw the NS description and I thought, okay, I auto-diagnosed myself with MS. I thought, okay, I have everything that they said here, so I think I have MS. And I went to a neurologist and I said, hey, do I have MS? No, what are you saying? No way. That's crazy. Why? Well, okay, they said that I had a paraparesis spastica. I know the name in Catalan, I don't know that in English, which is like a rare condition in the muscles that cause like a spasticity and things like this. Well, I don't know. The neurologists, they weren't sure about that, but I went to a very nice doctor. He said, no way is an MS, no way. Well, okay, I went to other doctors. I went to Barcelona. I did the test again, everything. And this doctor, he was specialized in MS and NMO. And he said, you know, I think that that's something related to, I don't know, MS or NMO. And I said, well, NMO? Well, I'm sorry, but I think that's NMO. And NMO is more severe than MS. Oh, my God. And then, you know, I start rushing a lot. I go to my hospital because I'm very lucky. And from Girona, we have a reference hospital in this kind of conditions in Girona. So I call them. I make the lumbar puncture. I don't know if that's the name in English. But everything started very fast. I didn't have I'm seronegative too. But they said that for my symptoms, they didn't have any doubt. And for the kind of wounds I have in the medulla, no? And they said, sure, it's NMO, no MS. So everything started very fast. I got accepted in that daycare hospital. They show me, they teach me how to walk again and all that stuff. And I started the treatment and everything. So everything went fast. But the thing is that, okay, I've been diagnosed from that for 3-4 years, something like this. The thing is that now I'm starting knowing other people that has my same condition, not before. So, well, I think I would need to know more people with my condition before. That could be amazing. But well, I'm doing that from time, step by step. Yeah. And I think podcasts like these and organizations like yours are super important to fix that. So thank you.
Sorry, Edna, just a question for what you just said, Aida, because I think it's important, and we also seen that in MS, but in other conditions, is that many people say that at the moment where they are going through their symptoms and they're in this phase of not being diagnosed yet, it would be nice to know people that are going through the same things. And even if you're newly diagnosed, to have a peer support, to be able to share just your experience and have someone that to relate to that has been going through the same things is important. And my question would be, where do you think, according to your own journeys and also you, Suad, where do you think would be the best meeting points, or where do you think the information should be available for the patients? Because we often see that the patients' organizations are coming very late in the journey. So maybe it's about thinking, where do you think we should be more present? What are the forums that you are looking for info?
I think that first of all, in the hospital, I mean, I was diagnosed from that after giving birth. The only word that I have in my mind is fear. All I could feel was fear, and I was frightened, you know, for the situation, everything. I had a baby at home. I wasn't a mom before, you know, so everything was new, but also the condition stuff, I was very frightened. And I didn't know if that was the episode would go away and I would recover or not, or what. And you go to the hospital and they said, well, just so you know, there's the MS Foundation, but you don't have MS. But if you want to, you can ask. Thank you. No, I guess so. At the end, you don't ask them, no, because you don't feel like involved in this group, no? So I think that the hospital, which is the first place you discover all that stuff, no, is like the most important place that you have to know where you can be helped and who can help you and who can give you advice. You know, the only thing of knowing, I don't know, a girl more or less like me, my age, who said, hey, don't worry, Aida. I was scared too, but that's my experience. Or, you know, would be amazing because I felt alone. And I felt alone for so many years, you know. And it's like, well, no, you know, in Spain, I think that there were like 300 people diagnosed. And it was like, okay, lucky you if I find another people of these 300. But lucky me if I find another people with my same diagnosis, with my same profile, you know, my more or less my same age, because I entered to a WhatsApp group with MS patients. But the thing is that a lot of MS patients, they are above their 50s. And, well, I don't feel like this, you know. I mean, I'm young. I'm 32. And I don't know where to go. And now, after all these years, but now, you know, I see everything with another perspective. And I'm always like my friend now. I'm not that scared. So it's like, well, now I'm starting knowing people. Suad, for example, I discovered an NMO association that is founded here in Spain, but not much ago. And I discovered there's a lot of people like me, which is like crazy because I thought, okay, what's wrong with me, you know? And it's something that it would be amazing to find out when I was diagnosed, not now, but well, sure. I'm thankful the same way.
Thank you, Aida. And you asked what was your experience?
Aida, it's so powerful what she said. It's exactly what each patient and what I felt when I was during my diagnosis, during my different impact in my body. You know, I felt alone. I felt because everything was very weird, no diagnosis, and I had no one to talk. And when I was blind, it was exactly this, the fear, loneliness, and a rare diagnosis. So I had two options, dying or fighting. And I hate to fight. We don't have to fight with our disease, but we always have to fight. That's a very big problem.
That here you say very important things. For example, when you are diagnosed with some condition like ours, we can say, I felt alone because I felt super alone. But people that were around me, that people that love me, they were, no, Aida, you are not alone. No, it's important that to make the point here, no? That even with a family and people that love you, you are alone because they are as much as scared as you.
Exactly.
And they don't understand anything and they don't know how to take care of you. And maybe what they can offer you is not what you need. So that's for sure.
Exactly.
Even if you have a super strong family, a net,
family,
you know,
with friends,
people, beloved people, but you are alone because you are the one who is diagnosed. And you need in this moment, you need people like you.
Yeah.
People that is diagnosed with your stuff.
Thank you for that.
And then there's another thing that I think that the fear acts in a way in people. And when we got diagnosed with this stuff, I experienced the same as you, know? I thought, okay, do I have to, you know, to see the animal as my enemy?
Exactly.
Do I have to fight it? Do I have to make the animal my friend? At the end, in my case, I was just tired. I was exhausted.
Exhausted.
And I didn't know, it arrived a point. Now, I try to make the thing that I would love to be done with me, with other people, even with MS. The other day, there was a girl, she was super frightened. She was 28 years old. She was already diagnosed from MS. And he asked to this group for information. And I said, okay, that's my perspective and that's my first episode, no? My first attack. But so she can feel like she was not alone, no?
Actually, it's really important to have the family and friends support. But it's as much important to have support also from other people going through a similar situation as you.
Yes, community. Because it's like you speak different languages.
From community. When I was diagnosed, it's very important to, when you say I'm alone, we are not alone. We have family, we have friends, we have support, but we feel alone. So I created the first nonprofit organization in Europe, Animal France, with the first patient community who shared on social media testimony. And today in the social media and the group and the volunteer, we have like 1,000 people following us from France, from Europe and everywhere. But what is very important for us in Europe, Noelia was part of the patient community in France since a long time. So she learned with us, she shared her perspective as a mother of a patient. And I said to her, Noelia, I hope you will be able to create a nonprofit organization in Spain because I can't answer to the Spanish people, but you have to answer to the Spanish people. And this is very important. We have really to understand that we have to create community because we know the patient. I had a guy called me from Spain and he said, hey, Suad, I saw your website. I saw what you are doing on social media. I'm from Spain. I'd really love to engage more for the patient. I said, oh, that's great news. So I introduced Noelia to Augustin. I said, okay, guys, you have to both create a nonprofit organization in Spain to support the patient of Spain, because no one much better than you in Spain know the patient, know the policy, know how do you feel, and you have to answer directly to your patient. We can create a European community, of course, but each country needs to have his own nonprofit organization who understood, who share. And this is why it's very important. I did it the first in Europe, in France, because I lost my sight in 2017. And since then, even if I was blind, I went to the school for blind people. And at the same time, I create Animal France. And today, the community, like Aida and other people, they feel like, oh my God, I'm not alone. I thought I was alone. I'm so happy to find you. And they can find on the website, patient testimony, healthcare professional tribute about the diagnose. They have everything. They can find tools to navigate and not to be afraid, because we know there is more suicide in NMO more than MS.
That's very important, because when you feel in this hole, when you are in this hole, because a diagnosis is a hole, an attack is a hole. I mean, you fell, all you see is darkness, no? For sure, I thought about suicide too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's something that if this continues like this, I'm not serving for anything. I'm a problem for my people. So better me quitting and that's it. So I think that's important. And you know that the psychological support, I think it's very important. We should have to provide the people that we have been diagnosed a while ago, like you and me, you know, that we see the condition in another, with another perspective. Maybe we should try to give this, to transform this calm,
yes,
this positivism, this, hey, you can live with that. Everything is going to be okay.
Yeah.
With tools or whatever. I think that the thing that you describe is like a scan of the condition itself in Europe, no? You created the NMO France not much ago. NMO Spain is already created, but it's super young, no?
Mm-hmm.
That young that they are trying to figure out the protocols, the tools, how and where they can help. So it's very new. It's a very new association.
Yeah.
And I guess that the same happens in other countries. So when you ask about the animal in Europe, I think that's the thing, no? That's the temperature of the condition that it is starting to be seen. I don't want to say for the doctors, because sure, they know before,
yeah,
but maybe for the world itself, for the patients, for the families, for the friends, like, hey, do you know that there's this condition and we should fight, we should work a lot. Because, for example, MS here in Spain, at least, is known. I mean, it's a rare condition, but there are a lot of non-profitable activities that you can do just to help the investigation and everything. And I participate in all that stuff because I thought that maybe a cent would go to NMO. But, you know, there was anything with NMO. But that at least now, I think MS, even being a rare condition, people know what it is, you know? And if we can make that someone more or less understand that there's some conditions related to MS, but they are different, like NMO, and then the noun is can sound familiar to these people, would be amazing.
Yeah.
But that would be a future, I guess. I mean, we have to work a lot.
There's a lot of ideas here, a lot of very important topics, and I believe this is just the beginning of the discussions. But because of the time, there are a few things that I would like to recap for our audience, because it's very important. First of all, it is true that when patients are going through the first symptoms, the first initial diagnosis, the feeling of loneliness is really, we hear that a lot, that it impacts the patients. And having those communities help. So we need to continue the work we are doing. The NMO France, EMSP, our member organizations, and all the other newly founded organizations is very, very important. For the young people that are listening to us, to this podcast, I would also ask them, like, if they have time and if they are comfortable sharing the stories, to don't hesitate to share the stories, to work with the organization, to volunteer a little bit of the time, to also be there, to be a peer buddy, where people can find some comfort and share experiences, because it has helped so many patients to have someone to speak to. And talking to another patient is different to talking to your family and to your healthcare professional. So that's very important. And that's a call for our listeners to really find the organizations. Contact us. We can make the connections at national level with other organizations. But that's very, very important. We will keep working also with NMO France and with the Spanish organizations to make sure that this evolves further and that we can explain better how to found also those communities and those activities to support the patients. I would like to ask a final question to both of you. Very quickly, in one sentence, can you say If you have one advice to give to a young person that is newly diagnosed with a rare condition, what would it be?
It's difficult to say, don't stay alone. It's difficult to say, do something or do not. Just breathe.
Just breathe. Okay, mine would be believe. Believe that everything will get better. Even if you feel it's not possible, but just believe. So if that's the word, the advice I would give.
That's two strong words, breathe and believe. I think it's very important to bring the light to our messages and to the activities that we are undertaking. And I would really encourage not only our audience, but also us, ourselves, to make us accountable, to be able to be there for those patients and to continue the work we are doing by reaching out. And before we close, Anna has prepared a little game for our guests. So I'm going to give the floor to Anna now.
Perfect. It's a really easy game. It's called like rapid fire round. So you have to answer with the first thing that pops up in your mind, like just short answers. Okay?
Okay.
So sweet or salty snacks?
Salty.
Sweet.
You were not expecting this question. So
no.
pizza with pineapple? Yes or no?
No.
Why not?
What's the most unexpected way that NMO has changed your life?
NMO, at the end, now I can say it was a present. I'm very thankful to NMO because I'm living with another, more calm, listening to myself, to my mind, to my body, to my soul. And that was a present I didn't have this before.
NMO is so an impact disease that, of course, it changes you and you have to decide if you breathe and believe, you can choose the right way for your life because NMO learns you to make boundaries with yourself and to know your body, each part of your body. So this time is breathe and believe that you can go beyond and understand your body to be...
That's the advice.
Yes, the advice. That's make
advice
it together.
And the B, the letter B, advice.
B, the B advice. BB NMO from Aida and Suad.
For sure. We have to patent that.
We have to keep it together. When we meet up again, we'll make our BB, okay?
For sure.
I like the BB. And Aida said something that... the other day I was speaking with another Young People's Network member and he was like, oh, maybe it's a controversial opinion, but we were talking about MS, but he was like, MS has changed my life for a better. And I was like, this is not controversial. Of course, it's not a good thing, like MS and MOGAD. If we have to vote, like two options, we would never choose to have them. But we don't have these options. So we have them. And it's also fair to ourselves to understand that even if it's not a good thing, of course, it can bring many good things. Now, for example, now we are here having these conversations, talking, and I'm sure that every person with some kind of health condition due to the condition has had some kind of change in their lives that at the end of the day, it's a good change.
Yes, people thought I was crazy in the beginning when I was blind because... They said, how can she accept that? How can she accept to be in the dark? How can she accept to be with the handicap? But my perception of the world was very quickly different. And I was like a superhero. And I see the world with another perspective due to my, of course, handicap. My brain chose to give me the best from the world, the best from everybody. Because I was in the dark, my brain gave me the opportunity to see the light everywhere. And that's why people didn't understand why I did accept this condition. And they thought I was crazy. I was not crazy. I had access to something that nobody can have access when you get through that rare disease and with the worst impact, losing your sight with NMO or MOGAD.
Thank you, Suad. I think this is a really powerful message to wrap up our episode. It was a pleasure to have you both here and get to know a bit more about NMO and MOGAD and also the community to raise awareness of rare conditions and also the difficulties that living with them can bring. before we close, I would like to say that for those listening to us that have NMO or MOGAD, if you feel comfortable, go to your national societies. For example, if you are in France, you can go to NMO France. They will help you. And it's important to believe in the power of community because it really helps. And make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss future episodes. And you can also share this one with someone who would love it. And you can also support us on Patreon. If you want more insights, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at EUMSYouth. Thank you for listening to our episode today. Until next time. Bye.